A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth of Mamre, as he sat in the entrance of his tent while the day was growing hot. Looking up, Abraham saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them. And bowing to the ground, he said, "Sir, if I may ask you this favor, please do not go on past your servant. Let some water be brought that you may bathe your feet, and then rest yourselves under the tree. Now that you have come this close to your servant, let me bring you a little food that you may refresh yourselves, and afterward, you may go on your way." The men replied, "Very well, do as you have said." Abraham hastened into the tent and told Sarah, "Quick, three measures of fine flour, knead it and make rolls." He ran to the herd, picked out a tender choice steer, and gave it to a servant who quickly prepared it. Then Abraham got some curds and milk, as well as the steer that he had prepared, and set these before the three men. And he waited on them under the tree while they ate. They asked Abraham, "Where is your wife Sarah?" He replied, "There in the tent." One of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up. What is lacking in the affliction of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister, in accordance with God's stewardship given to me, to bring to completion for the word of God the mystery hidden from ages and from generations past, but now it has been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It is Christ in you, the hope for glory. It is he whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may be present and everyone perfect in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much suffering, with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her."
Verbum Domini.
This Sunday, the first reading is the account in the book of Genesis of Abraham sitting by the entrance of his tent on a particularly hot day, as he is no doubt trying to stay cool away from the heat of the sun. And he is approached by three strange men who have likely been traveling during the heat of the day and are looking for some respite. Nowadays, it is very easy for most people to stop at a hotel or a restaurant to cool down and to get some rest while they're traveling. And yet these modern accommodations were not widely available in ancient times. It was customary for travelers, especially foreigners, to rely on the hospitality of the natives of the land in which they traveled. And such, in fact, such hospitality to strangers and foreigners was commanded later in the Old Testament. And the most obvious iteration of this law is found in Leviticus 19, where it says, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. The stranger who sojourns with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And hence, when Abraham sees these strange men standing before him, he immediately acts according to the law of God as it is written on his heart. In fact, Abraham views the rendering of hospitality to them as an honor, as if the men are doing him a favor by allowing him to attend to their needs. And he quickly goes to work, collaborating with his wife and his servant to prepare a meal for the men, while also providing water to bathe their feet. The men graciously allow Abraham to perform this act of kindness for them, thus showing great respect for him. And little does Abraham know that in serving these men, he is serving the Lord God himself, who has appeared to him in human appearance. And as a reward for his service to the Lord promises Abraham that his wife Sarah, who is advanced in years, will have a son by the same time next year, thus fulfilling God's promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And the hospitality of Abraham towards these three visitors is only one of several episodes in the book of Genesis in which Abraham demonstrates his fidelity to the Lord and to the covenant that he had made with the Lord. And this episode of hospitality is contrasted shortly thereafter with the utter lack of hospitality shown by the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. When the two angels go to visit Sodom, they are received with hospitality only by Lot and his family, whereas the other residents of Sodom treat the visitors with threats and hostility. In the end, only Lot and his family, except for his wife, are spared, while the entire towns of Sodom and Gomorrah are completely destroyed. And the letter to the Hebrews teaches us, saying, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." In other words, Christians are called to treat all people, including strangers and foreigners, with a natural disposition of hospitality, understanding that the person to whom we show kindness represents the Lord himself. In fact, as in the case of Martha and Mary in the gospel reading today, sometimes the person to whom we show hospitality is, in fact, the Lord himself. Both Martha and Mary show hospitality to Jesus in their own unique way. Martha serves Jesus diligently, hand and foot, while Mary keeps company with Jesus by sitting at his feet and listening attentively as he speaks. Martha's service to the Lord is indeed commendable, and yet clearly the Lord wishes to feed both Martha and Mary with the feast of his word. And by showing him hospitality in their own way, both Martha and Mary receive the reward for their generosity. Martha is generous by rendering material service to the Lord, whereas Mary is generous with her loving attention to the Lord's instruction. And at every Mass, there is a mutual hospitality that takes place between the Lord Jesus and his church gathered in prayer. We offer our own service to the Lord by being attentive to his word and to his instruction as we offer him our lives, our work, and our sacrifices, along with the offering of bread and wine. And in return, the Lord generously bestows upon us his sacred teaching, as well as the precious gift that is the source and summit of the church's life, the Holy Eucharist. And this liturgical hospitality is extended to every person who has gathered for the celebration of the liturgy, regardless of their own personal history, their past sins, nationality, country of origin, skin color, economic status, or any other superficial distinction. This radical unity and solidarity of the church is further solidified by our reception of the Holy Eucharist. As all people from all walks of life are invited to come forth and receive the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, that is, those who are properly disposed. And then as we hear the words, Ite Missa Est, or the Mass is ended, go in peace, we are called to go forth into the world and into our daily lives to share this liturgical hospitality with others. The Eucharist opens our eyes to the fact that every single person is loved by God, and that the Lord desires the salvation of every person we encounter. We are called to be hospitable not only to our own families, but especially to the poor, the marginalized, immigrants, refugees, asylum seekers, the sick, the imprisoned, the homebound, vulnerable mothers, widows, orphans, and any other group of people in most need of the Lord's love and mercy. And this is especially important to bear in mind as we witness these marginalized groups around the world suffer from the cruelty of oppressive systems that cause them undue hardship and even death. For instance, the topic of immigration has become a hot-button issue when it really doesn't need to be. It's something that all of us should be able to work together on. It is indeed important for everyone to understand that this issue is not as simplistic as many people in the media would like to portray it. And this is why it is essential to know the teaching of the church concerning immigration. The social teaching of the church has clearly laid out principles that must be followed when it comes to immigration and the way countries regulate their borders, so that we might be diligent in showing hospitality to all. And before I launch into the church's social teaching, I wish to direct our attention to paragraph 80 in the compendium of the social doctrine of the church. It says, insofar as it is part of the church's moral teaching, the church's social doctrine has the same dignity and authority as her moral teaching. It is authentic magisterium, which obligates the faithful to adhere to it. In other words, adherence to moral teaching as it is contained in Catholic social teaching is not optional for Catholics. We are obliged to adhere to this teaching, just as we are obliged to adhere to other teachings of varying doctrinal weight. And in a document issued by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops entitled Catholic Social Teaching on Immigration and the Movement of Peoples, the bishops explain how the scriptures themselves require that we have a love for strangers, especially foreigners, immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers. And as I mentioned earlier, the precept in Leviticus 19 requires us to love the stranger among us and to treat them no differently than the native or the citizen among us. Jesus welcomes the sheep on his right in the heavenly kingdom in Matthew 25. And he says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. And St. Paul himself affirms the absolute equality of all people before God when he says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And the USCCB document on immigration then goes on to list three basic principles derived from Catholic social teaching that must be observed together when considering the issue of immigration. And the first principle is the right to migrate. As the document says, the people have the right to migrate to sustain their lives and the lives of their families. The document then goes on to say, this is based on biblical and ancient Christian teaching that the goods of the earth belong to all people, while the right to private property is defended in Catholic social teaching. Individuals do not have the right to use private property without regard for the common good. So in other words, even though there is a right to private property, such property is always subordinate to the common good, or to what is called the universal destination of goods. We cannot hoard private property or use it in such a way that is detrimental to others or deprives them of their necessities. And the USCCB document also states, every person has an equal right to receive from the earth what is necessary for life, food, clothing, shelter. Moreover, every person has the right to education, medical care, religion, and the expression of one's culture. And in many places, people live in fear, danger, or dehumanizing poverty. And clearly, it is not God's will that some of his children live in luxury while others have nothing. In Luke's gospel, the rich man was condemned for living well, while the poor man starved at his doorstep. The native does not have superior rights over the immigrant. And before God, all are equal. The earth was given by God to all. When a person cannot achieve a meaningful life in his or her own land, that person has the right to move. And this naturally leads us to the second principle on immigration. A country has a right to regulate its borders and to control immigration. And it often happens that people who defend mass deportations and strict border control measures will only mention this second principle while ignoring the other two. However, all three principles of immigration must be considered together when drafting and implementing just and merciful immigration policy. And the USCCB document says, ordinarily people do not leave the security of their own land and culture just to seek adventure in a new place, or merely to enhance their standard of living. Instead, they migrate because they are desperate, and the opportunity for a safe and secure life does not exist in their own land. Immigrants and refugees endure many hardships and often long for the homes they left behind. And as Americans, we should cherish and celebrate the contributions of immigrants and their cultures. However, we should work to make it unnecessary for people to leave their own land. You know, people also have a right not to migrate, to actually be able to live in peace in their own land. But when that's not possible, then they have the right to migrate. And the document also says that Catholic social teaching is realistic. While people have the right to move, no country has the duty to receive so many immigrants that its social and economic life are jeopardized. And so this leads us to the third principle that we need to keep in mind, which is just as important as the other two and cannot be set aside. A country must regulate its borders with justice and mercy. And this is extremely important. The document says a country's regulation of borders and control of immigration must be governed by concern for all people and by justice and mercy. A nation may not simply decide that it wants to provide for its own people and not others. A sincere commitment to the needs of all must prevail. And according to Catholic social teaching, all human beings have equal dignity, regardless of their social class, country of origin, nationality, or the color of their skin. And this basic dignity must be reflected in our immigration policy. And the USCCB document also issues a very clear teaching under this third principle concerning the issue of undocumented immigrants. It says, undocumented immigrants present a special concern. Often their presence is considered criminal since they arrive without legal permission. And under the harshest view, the undocumented people may be regarded as undeserving of rights and services. This is not the view of Catholic social teaching. The Catholic Church teaches that every person has basic human rights and is entitled to have basic human needs met: food, shelter, clothing, education, and health care. Undocumented persons are particularly vulnerable to exploitation by employers, and they are not able to complain because of the fear of discovery and deportation. Current immigration policy that criminalizes the mere attempt to immigrate and imprisons immigrants who have committed no crime or who have already served a just sentence for a crime is immoral. In the Bible, God promises that our judgment will be based on our treatment of the most vulnerable. And before God, we cannot excuse inhumane treatment of certain persons by claiming that their lack of legal status deprives them of rights given by the Creator. And finally, immigration policy that allows people to live here and contribute to society for years, but refuses to offer them the opportunity to achieve legal status, does not serve the common good. The presence of millions of people living without easy access to basic human rights and necessities is a great injustice. And so the call to hospitality necessarily involves treating everyone according to the love and mercy of Christ, and advocating for immigration policy that is just, respectful of human dignity, effective in protecting the citizens of the host country, and effective in protecting the basic human rights of immigrants, who are often compelled by necessity to leave their home countries for various reasons. And by practicing hospitality, we not only practice Christian charity, but we also fulfill the dictates of justice and divine law. And when we stand before Christ on the day of judgment, we do not want to be counted among the goats who are driven away because they refuse to serve Christ and the poor. But rather, we want to be counted among the sheep who are welcomed into the heavenly kingdom. By welcoming strangers and the least of Christ's brothers and sisters, we will have welcomed Christ himself.